Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful that you are our Father, and we're grateful that we can gather here like this in a time of crisis and center our hearts and minds on you. Please bless us as we open your word together, thinking that Brother Hall can be here, and bless him as he brings your word to us. Help us to receive it with open hearts, and may your word be planted deep in us, and may we be shaped and fashioned in your likeness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I have an app on my phone that makes it possible for me to know where my children are. I can know that the Cherry is at home, and Rose is at work, and Gardner's at home, and I know where they are. My wife was just amazed at that, as I am also. But she made the comment, "Now I can understand just a little better how God knows where we all are." Of course, the knowledge of God is so much greater than that of a cell phone. Yesterday we talked about the fact that he is omnipotent, having all potential or all power. And I think when we realize that he knows everything, we say he is omniscient, S-C-I-E-N-T, which is very close to science. And in science, you know things. God knows all things, much more than the cell phone knows, for sure. In fact, in Psalm 139, we are instructed in the knowledge, the omniscience of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. My app only knows where my children are. I don't know what they're doing necessarily. God knows not only where we are, but he knows what we're doing and what we're thinking. You know my sitting down and my rising up. And frankly, that's something I don't always know. Sometimes when I'm studying on something and trying to put it together, I'll sit down a little while, and then I get up and walk around a little. Then I sit back down. At least I used to. I sit most of the time now. But anyway, I'm not aware of getting up and sitting down and getting up. But God knows those things. You understand my thought afar off. When you think something, it's not just an instant. Something has triggered that thought. And sometime it goes way back. Have you ever been to the ocean and you can see a swell out there, and it gradually grows and grows until it becomes a wave on the shore? And that's the way it is with our thoughts. God sees them forming before they're actually formed at all. You comprehend my path and my lying down. When I'm walking, when I'm lying down, God knows. You're acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Sometimes, if we control our tongue, there's a word in our tongue that never gets spoken. I hope that's true. The Bible teaches us to think carefully before we speak. But God knows even when that word is in our tongue, but is never, never even spoken. You have hedged me behind, that is, you know my past. I know my past, at least part of it. Much of it I've forgotten, I'm sorry about. But God knows all my past. Not only that, but you've laid your hand upon me. He knows my present. He knows what I am, where I am now, what I'm doing now, what I'm saying now. And you have laid your hand upon me and hedged me behind and before. The Lord knows my future before it even happened. And that I don't know at all. I sometimes wish I did, But sometimes I'm glad I don't. I don't know what lies out there. But God knows. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I'm not sure there's any place in the Bible that explains this more fully than this passage of Scripture. But Jesus makes it clear that this is the truth. He tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, that even a sparrow does not fall without God's knowledge, and even that the hairs of our head are numbered. Now that's not so, doesn't mean so much as far as my head's concerned, but some of you guys, he has to have considerable knowledge to know how many hairs you have. God knows the slightest little thing is what is being said. And in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 13, neither is any creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. That's startling, that God knows everything. But there's a reason he knows everything. And one reason he knows everything is the fact that he's everywhere. And this we call omnipresence. That's all present. That he is everywhere. And that's described in the continuation of this psalm. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, even behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, sure, the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God is everywhere. The ancient people seemed to think that gods were located within the bounds of their own country. Each nation had its god. And it may be that Jonah even had that concept or that idea. And so when God said, you go and preach to Nineveh, he thought, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to get away from God by going the opposite direction. And of course, he learned where God was. God was wherever he went. And even when he was swallowed in the belly of the big fish, he knew God was there, and he prayed to God, and God delivered him. Yes, he learned that. And I think that's the meaning of that great vision that Ezekiel had in the far-off country. He had been carried away from his homeland. Here he was in distant Babylon. And even there, God was. And he could reveal to the people who listened to him, God was there just as surely as he had been in the temple in Jerusalem. God is everywhere. And that's a significant fact. And he's, to some people, this, of course, it is not a pleasant thought. When I was a child, there was a song in our songbook, if through the valley your shadow, through the shadows your pathway should lead, he will not leave you alone. And then the chorus was, he will not leave me alone, he will not leave me alone. Couldn't quite make it, but you got the idea, I think. I had a sister, and she was 3 years younger than I was. And I was constantly saying, Mother, make her leave me alone. And when as a child we sang that song, He Will Not Leave Me Alone, I wasn't too sure that was comforting. But it's comforting when you're a Christian. It's comforting when you're a child of God. And Paul found that to be true. Paul saw a vision back in Asia Minor, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he interpreted that as the will of God for him to go to Macedonia. So he goes to Philippi, and what happens? He gets beaten and put in prison. Well, he leaves there, and he goes from there to Thessalonica. And what happens there? A mob attacks the house where he was and begins to, they would have killed him if they'd have found him, I suspect. And so he went from there to Berea. And there was a plot made against his life there so that he had to flee in the night and go to Athens. And he got to Athens and nobody listened to him much. Had very little success. And he gets to Corinth and, oh, what a wicked city it was. And you can just all imagine, you know, I began to wonder about that vision I had back there in Asia. I wonder if that really was God's intention. Everything's going against me. Sometimes we interpret hardship and difficulty as indicating that God's not for us. That doesn't prove anything. Satan's not for us, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy us. And he must have been particularly discouraged in Corinth. But the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And what did the Lord say? It's a very instructive word. I've enjoyed preaching on this particular theme. The Lord said, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you." How comforting that must have been. And the Lord said, "No one will start with settling you to harm you." They tried, but they didn't succeed. No harm at all. One of the saddest pictures in all the Bible to me is in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, when Paul was coming to the end of his life, and when he was on trial at his first defense, he says, "No one stood with me, but all forsook me." If you see the on TV, perhaps, or even maybe go to a courtroom where some celebrity is being tried. The police are out there just managing the crowds of people who are maybe there because they are in favor of the prisoner or opposed to the prisoner. But he has friends as a rule. But here Paul stood probably in a huge crowd. Courtrooms were public there, and people who were seeking some publicity or seeking something exciting would crowd in to see what was going to happen here in this trial. And you can just imagine the people crowding around, and here's one lone figure, Paul, standing all by himself. I don't know where his friends were. There were friends in Rome. There were people who should have stood by him, and he knew they should have, because he said, "May the Lord forgive them." It was wrong for them to forsake me, but he said, "But the Lord stood with me." He was never, never alone. That's another song we've sung sometimes. No, never, never alone. And that's comforting for the Christian, that God knows everything and that God is everywhere. Yesterday we observed that because God is so powerful, you can't overpower him. Today, because God knows everything about you and God is everywhere, you cannot escape him. And if you cannot overpower him and you cannot escape him, then by all means, you must not ignore him. We'll sing some.
If you'll open your psalm books to number 417, The Providence of God. Number 417. Chorus reads, "He's here and there and everywhere. In all the ways I've trod, I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God. I can't go anywhere that God is not there. I appreciate what Sewell shared this morning, and it will fit in well with what we'll sing about further. Number 417, all four verses.
No soul, the mighty God, omniscient one, his ways we cannot trace. He reckons every good begun and crowns it with his grace. He's here and there and everywhere in all the ways I've trod. I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God. Lo, I can see him in his word. I will not doubt or fear. My steps are ordered of the Lord. His guiding hand is near. He's here and there.
Should be a great comfort, and it should be an especially great comfort when we're going through challenges and trials, just like we sang about, that there's God's going to be there during the trial, during the temptation. And I don't know about you, but I need that if I hope to be victorious over that. And so today I want us to sing about those situations in our lives and what God wants out of us as his followers in terms of the choices that we make and in terms of the purity of our lives. Listen as we have two readings from Titus 2 and 1 Timothy 5.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself a people for its own possession, zealous for good deeds. Now in 1 Timothy 5, 1-2, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger women as to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity.
So, we are, as followers of Christ, we are to say no to worldly passions. God, through Christ, has redeemed us and purified us. And as such, we are to treat others, and especially, as was read there, the younger women, with absolute purity. And I don't know about you, I need help with that. I need constant help with that, and that's the kind of constant help and presence that God provides in our lives. Let's sing song number 599. 599 is entitled, More Holiness Give Me. Now, we use that word a lot, holiness. And you think about what it means. It means to be separate, separated to God. And then it describes the kind of behavior then that goes along with those who are separated for God. This song really paints the picture of the idea of us being separated to God and what that looks like in our lives. Pay attention as we sing this song.
Know me, more holiness give me, more strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service, more purpose in prayer, more gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more zeal for His glory, more hope in His word, more tears for His sorrows, more pain at His grief, more meekness in trial, more grace for relief, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more longings for home, more fit for the kingdom, more useful I be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like Thee.
Number 576. 576, purify us. Look at the words with me. Lord, restorer, hand unseen, come and make your priesthood clean. Now think about that. Who's he talking about? It's all about us. Come, refine our every part, purify us, thought and heart. He knows the words before it leaves our tongue, right? Verse 2, in our weakness and desire, melt us with your cleansing fire. Burn temptation from our minds. Leave your love and peace behind. To complete us, Father, bless. Make us gifts of righteousness, honored in the work we do, golden vessels fit for you. Sing all three verses.
No soul me, Lord, restorer, hand unseen, come and make your priesthood clean, come refine our every part, purify.
number 579, a couple pages over. 579, sanctuary. And you think about that, we just talked about being golden vessels fit for God. Sanctuary is a place where you dwell. And we need to be that sanctuary that God can dwell in. All three verses.
Know me, O Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary.
Sing song number 470. 470. If we hope to be successful in our battle against temptations, if we hope to be successful in being a sanctuary for God, we have to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing this song through two times.
Do me turn.
No greater truth could be said than what we're going to sing here. Number 313, I could not do without you. Look at verse 2. I could not do without you. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But you, beloved Savior, are near in all I do. And weakness will be power if leaning hard on you. Thankfully, we don't have to do it alone because of our all-present God. Sing all four verses.
No soul I could not do without you, O Savior of the Lord. must be. My only hope and comfort, my glory and my plea. I could not do without you. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But you, beloved Savior, are near in all I do. And weakness will be power.
Number 22. Song's entitled Cleanse Me. I want you to look again at verse 2 of this song with me as well. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire, for once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. I need that fire that desires only to magnify, to make big the name of God. And we do that when we give ourselves to Him and live lives that are pure. We'll sing all three verses.
Don't mean, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin. Sin, fulfill thy word and make me
583, holy to the Lord. Verse 1, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Verse 3, purer in heart, O God, help me to be, that I Thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign Thou, my soul within, purer in heart, help me to be. We'll sing all three verses.
Know me, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. God.
We'll sing two more songs. Number 236. 236. The power of the cross. As we live lives that strive to be holy to the Lord, it is the cross which shows so clearly the seriousness of my sin. Look at verse 2. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Probably should, as we sing this, insert a word there between of and sin. And it would be my sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed crowning your blood-stained brow. Verse 4. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds. For through your suffering, I am free. As we sing this song, we contemplate our desire to live holy lives before God. Let's recognize what Jesus did on the cross and why he did it. It was because of my sin that I'm seeking to be free from and am able to be free from because of the love and grace of God shown to us each and every day. Let's sing all four verses of The Power of the Cross.
Torn and beaten.
Number 448. 448. Similar to the song we just sung, have just sung together, this song is our opportunity to convict ourselves, to commit to lives of holiness. Verse 2, behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I need to have a godly sorrow over my sin that says no more. No more to the sins that pollute my life. So let's think about that as we sing these three verses of number 448, and then we'll be led in a prayer.
No.
But instead, he was willing to die for us. And it shows your great love that you have for us. And Lord, this week and for the rest of our lives, we pray that you instill in us a desire to serve you and to love you the way that you've loved us first. Help us to grow in our love for you and our desire to help one another get to heaven and be together for eternity with you. Lord, there are going to be times when it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, but we're so thankful for that reason that you are always with us. You're always all around us, strengthening us so that when we're weak, we can lean on you and you can bring us to the other side. And when we can't fight our battles, you can carry us through them and you can fight them for us. Help us to always lean on you. We're so thankful for the great love that you show us in Jesus, and we pray that you help us to love you in that same way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please just stay right there. So I've just got a few things for us related to schedule today and a couple other things. And then afterwards, both Joe and Ed are going to speak just for a minute about other camps that they do. And many of you are aware of those, but some may not be. So we'll just take an opportunity to give them a couple of minutes each to talk. So tonight, for the schedule, first of all, today you'll notice there's no H. So we pretty much follow A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and no H class. And then tomorrow we'll start H. We'll kind of fill in different spots through the next few days. So just watch that on your schedule. So a good, pretty simple day to follow the pattern today. There's just one other thing on the prayer time. Again, I think that went fairly well. Hopefully everybody found their groups last night and where they were going to go. Remember that you've got a different place and a different group tonight. So the same thing at 7:35, I believe it is. 7:35 is the prayer time. So go ahead and make sure you've got that in your mind, where it is you're going to go. And if you have a question about it, again, if it's at the cabin or across from the cabin or one of these other places, feel free to ask about that as well. And a few were confused about the